Gospels, if you will, and turn with me to the last book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50, if you will, the last chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50 this morning. I'm going to read several verses this morning, talk about a few of them as we read through them, and then we'll try to give just a small message this morning the Lord's given me. And I believe by the time we get through the message this morning, it'll fit right in with the song that was sung, and had no idea what Brother Jeff was going to sing this morning. And he had no idea what I was going to preach this morning. He had a new song. I got a new message. Well, that's the way it should always be. Well, get something new in your heart to sing for the Lord and for God's people. Look here, if you would, Genesis chapter 50. Let's begin reading in verse 22. And then we're going to read through this chapter and plus Exodus chapter 1 and read all the way through to verse 8. So look here, if you would, Genesis chapter 50, verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And boy, that's a beautiful saying there. He brought his grandchildren up upon his knees. And if you're a papa or mama this morning, you got something here that should be speaking to your heart now. As Joseph brought his grandchildren up, sitting upon his knees. And my friend, the only time you sit a child upon your knees is to talk to him, to tell him, I believe, about the grace of God. In verse 24, Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. I believe this is a good scripture here to tell us about a Christian burial. It should be in a casket. It should be in the ground. I don't believe it's right for a child of God to be embalmed. You can have your own opinion, your own thoughts about that. That's up to you. But here Joseph said, hey, don't burn me and put me in a pot. He said, bury me in the ground because, hey, I will rise again. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive remaining shall be called together to be with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Here, Joseph knew what was going to be the end of his life. He knew to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But God's not going to leave anything half done. He's going to come back one day. He's going to call the dead in Christ to get up out of the grave and give us a glorified body. We're going to rise up, meet Christ in the clouds, and we're going to be with Jesus forevermore. And what a wonderful day that is, my friend. He says here, I want you to notice, he says that he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And my friend, a coffin, you know what a coffin is. Boy, it's encouraging to our hearts now if you've had anyone in your family to pass on and gone to heaven, my friend. A coffin is another word for hope chest. Hey, coffin is another word for a hope chest. They've been placed in a coffin. They got a hope chest now. My friend, you know what a hope chest is? A young girl's growing up in her house, her father's house, and a young girl would inquire of a hope chest, and in that hope chest, you start placing things in there for the day she gets married and move on to another place, move on to another house. She'll start accumulating things that she can put into her new home. And my friend, we've been placed into a hope chest because we've got a new home waiting for us. Hey, a coffin is also a wish box. Any woman today that has a diamond ring on your hand, and my friend, you have a gold band and you have a diamond, but there's something that's holding the diamond onto the band. That's called a coffin. A coffin is something that holds a jewel. And my friend, in God's mind, I believe we're God's jewel. And my friend, not only is a coffin a hope box, but it's also a hope chest, but it's also a wish box. Hey, my friend, you can make any wish you want, but the greatest thing to do is depend upon Christ and Christ alone for salvation. I want you to notice what it says here in verse 22. We'll go with the message in a minute, but I want to just point out a few things. It says that Joseph lived in verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Notice what it says in verse 26. And Joseph died, being 110 years old. Here Joseph lived until the very last day when he died. You say, preach God, that don't make any sense. Well, I'm here to tell you, a lot of people die before they die. A lot of preachers die when they're 30 and 40 and 50 years old, and they just want to ride the coattail the rest of their life until they get into glory. Here, Joseph was everlastingly at it, my friend. He was busy. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And my friend, he didn't die until until he died. Here he lived 110 years. I believe every day he looked for Christ and looked towards Christ and looked for the promise of his coming, my friend. It says he was 110 years old and then he died. My friend, the book of Genesis started with the garden, but it ended with a coffin. And that's what life is. Hey, life starts with something blooming and blossoming and growing. But life, my friend, will end in a coffin. If you're here today and you're lost without Christ, we encourage you. It's my plea this morning that you give your life to Jesus Christ. You might be in full bloom now. You might be living now. You might be enjoying it now. Hey, you might be living it up for the devil now. But there will come a day when you'll be placed into a coffin, and then you're going to spend the rest of your life either in a place called hell, my friend, with unrighteous are, and is wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not, your soul will get no comfort in hell. The rich man is still crying out in hell today. He's lifting up his eyes and he's crying out for just one drop of water, for some help, for some comfort, my friend. The Bible started with the garden and it ended in the coffin, and that's how life is. And that's a story for all of us that saved this morning. Hey, my friend, we don't have too many more days to get into the field of God and work for God and serve God and live for God. Hey, the table's always full, and we want to sit around God and eat upon the sweet manna from heaven. But, my friend, it's time for us to, my friend, go out there into the world and work and serve. Hey, the harvest field is ripe. Hey, the harvest is wider than a harvest, but the laborers are few. Christ said that 2,000 years ago, and it's still true today. We need more laborers and more workers and more people with a servant heart in the work of God. Here Joseph was coming to the end of his life and he died. Notice what it says here in Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died and all his brethren and of that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. I want you to let this sink in here in verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. My friend, in order to understand the beginning of this message, you've got to use a little bit of spiritual insight. Here Joseph is one of the greatest pictures of Jesus Christ we have in the Old Testament. Hey, my friend, Joseph has lived a great life, and he was righteous in his dwellings and righteous in his living. But here in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says there was a new king that did not know who Joseph was. There's a new king that did not remember what Joseph done. My friend, I want to try to preach to you this morning. He was not remembered. What's going to happen if we forget who Jesus Christ is? My friend, there's many things I want to share with you this morning. I want you to notice the first thing: they forgot the one who done so much for them. You know who Joseph was? Joseph was the one that delivered his people out of bondage, my friend. Hey, the bread was scarce. Hey, the food was going bad. Hey, for 7 years of famine. Hey, there are 7 years of plenteous. Hey, the fields just doubled, my friend, and they had 7 years of great gain. But then there are 7 years of famine, and Joseph, my friend, he was the one who delivered his people from starving to death, my friend. You know what Christ has done for us? Hey, Christ has delivered us, my friend. He's delivered us from a place called hell. Well, every one of us should be this morning. We should be in hell this morning. We should be going to hell this morning because of who we are. Simply because I'm Scott Bass, I should die and go to hell and be there for all eternity. But thank God for Jesus Christ, who died for me and delivered me out of the place that I should be at this morning. Hey, my friend, these people forgot. These people didn't remember who Joseph was. Not only was he the one that delivered his people from bondage, but he also had mercy upon his people. Can you remember the story of Joseph when his brother sold him 20 pieces of silver? The Israelite merchant man was coming down from Egypt, and here Joseph's brothers put him in a pit, and the warder said that the warder, there's no water in the pit, so he didn't drown in the pit, but they was going to take their hands and kill their own brother. And I believe Reuben come up and say, hey, don't let's hurt our brother. And they made a plot to sell him to Egypt, my friend. They sold him to the Israelite merchantmen. They took him down to Potiphar's house. They took him down and sold him to the captain of the guard. The captain of the guard, my friend, had him, and he was a little slave to him. And my friend, here he was sold to Potiphar, and Potiphar, the king, had him. And my friend, all kinds of things took place, and he put in jail, and we know the whole story. But here, God was with him, is what the Bible says. And the king saw something, and Joseph was able to interpret his dream, and he made him sack it in the riding chariot. In other words, it was the king and Joseph. Can you think about his brothers coming to him? Now, Joseph has already changed his appearance. He's already learned a new language. So when he talked to his brother, he didn't look the same. He didn't talk the same. But yet, he still had mercy on those who done him wrong. And my friend, that's what we need this morning. We just need a group of Christians who says, hey, you might do me wrong, and you might not treat me right, but I'm going to still love you anyway, and I'm going to still have mercy on you anyway, and I'm not going to treat you like you've treated me, but I'm going to love you with God's love. Here, they forgot. They simply forgot. We'll read a few verses in a minute. But they forgot who Joseph was, one who delivered them. You know what? Who Christ is? He's not just a master upstairs. He's just not the big daddy. He's not just a boss man. He's God. He's the one that delivered us. He's the one that had mercy on us. He's the one that's helped his people. Joseph fed his people. And my friend, God's the one that has taken care of us. The Bible says every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of light. My friend, anything good that you have in your life is because of God. If you got clothes on your back this morning, it's not because of your ability to go to work and earn money and buy clothes. It's because of God. If you have food in your house this morning, it's not because of your job. It's because of God. My friend, if you got help enough to get up out of bed this morning and get dressed and walk to your car and come to church and walk from your car inside the church this morning, it's because of God's favor in your life. Every good thing we have this morning is because of God. Boy, it'd just take one day to take it all away, wouldn't it? It'd just take one day to take everything you have away. Boy, just take one day, my friend, for everything you work for, your whole life to be taken away. But my friend, I want you to know something. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're God's child this morning, no one can take God away from you. And every good and perfect thing we have from Him. Not only has Joseph helped his people, but Joseph loved his people. Can you imagine the love wherewith God loved us? Boy, He loves us with everlasting love. My friend, these people forgot Joseph. Well, it would be an awful thing if God's people forget Him, wouldn't it? And I know what you say. You say, preacher, we won't ever forget God. But we think about Him every Sunday morning when we wake up. We think about Him every time we look at our Bible. We think about Him every time on Wednesday night. We just think about God all the time. Yeah, but we'll forget. We'll forget. Look here, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice what took place here. I'm going to try to help you this morning, try to show you something in God's Word this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Remember, the king forgot Joseph. He didn't know who Joseph was. He didn't think about Joseph delivering his people. Joseph had mercy on his people. Joseph helping his people. Joseph loving his people. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees that thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Notice what the Bible says. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Here the Bible says God will give you all these good things. He gives you all the good things. He gives you a house to live in. He gives you a job to work at. He gives you food to eat. He gives you clothes to wear. He gives you health every day. He gives you wealth every day. And the Bible says then you shall beware, because then you'll forget who God is, my friend. Hey, when we're on the mountaintops, and everything's going just right, and you're not worried about paying your bills, and you're not worried about losing your job, and you're not worried about what you're going to eat tomorrow, you're not worried about what you're going to wear tomorrow, you're not worried about someone sick in a hospital, laying in a bed full of cancer, about to die, when everything's going just right, the Bible says, then we're apt to forget who God is, my friend. The Bible says, beware of this, because you will forget what God has done for you. He said, preacher, I won't never forget how God reached down from heaven and pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet on solid rock and established my going. How Christ, my friend, He dug us up out of that clay, out of that dirt, where He found us. And my friend, all of that, but the Bible says He become the foundation. He's the foundation. Hey, my friend, this is wonderful. Hey, Brother Jeff, when Christ come to where I was at, and He pulled me up out of miry clay, He set my feet on the solid rock, but then He took my place in that miry clay, and He become the stone, the cornerstone, the stone that's been placed into the ground to give us a strong foundation. Hey, Jesus Christ has took my place on the cross of Calvary so I can be set free and go to heaven when I die, my friend. Hey, God has took my place in hell, and He suffered my eternal suffering and torment so I can die and go to a place called heaven. He took our place. The Bible says when everything's going just right, then you'll forget God. You know why you have so many struggles? You know why we have so many problems? So we won't forget who God is. You know why we have sickness? So we don't forget who God is. You know why there's people in this church this morning that lives every day of their life in pain, so they won't forget who God is. You know why I'm standing up here preaching to you this morning, and boy, I wish my speech was better. I wish I knew more words. I wish I could read better than I do. You know why God's given me the mind He's given me? So I can depend upon Him more. Anything in your life that's not right, it's a blessing. Because God's given it to us to make us depend upon Him. Because, beloved, I tell you, if everything was just right, we'll forget God. And we wouldn't have no need for Him. But if I didn't go to the hospital yesterday, and I appreciate those who called me and told me Miss Grace was in the hospital and went in there and to her and seen her and saw the shape of her arms was all black and blue, and she was just laying there, my friend. And I thought, hey, that's going to be me in a few years. I need to get busy for the Lord. Here, my friend, when God's given us all these good things, He says, beware, lest thou forget the Lord thy God. Look here, if you would, we'll show another verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I wish you would take time to read this chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. Let's look here in verse 7. Notice what the Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters and fountains and depths and springs, out of the valley and the hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Boy, that's a good land, ain't it? Hey, church this morning, that's a good place, ain't it? Boy, it'd be good to have a church this morning. Hey, when the pews is full. Hey, when the choir sings excellent, my friend. When we have all the greatest soloists to come in and sing for us. Boy, it'd be good to have a church where we don't have to worry about thieves breaking in. We don't have to worry about repainting walls. We don't have to worry about cutting the grass. Where we have no problems and no upkeeps and no worries. Hey, it'd be a good place. It'd be a great church that you can come to and have no problems. There's no such a thing as a church without problems. Here knows what the Bible says. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping His commandments and His judgment and His statutes, which I command thee this day. He says, hey, when you got a good church, you got a good place to live, you got a good family, and everything is going pretty much all right for you, and you realize how good God's been to you, you sit back and you just suck it all in and get fat on God. He says, beware. You're going to forget Him. You're going to forget Him. I'm going to tell you this morning, some of us is so fat on God, we can't even see Him. I'm not talking about physical fatness. Boy, every one of us probably can afford to lose a few pounds. But I'm talking about spiritually fat where God's just blessing, God's blessing, God's blessing, and we gather, we get, and as soon as we get all that God wants to give to us, hey, we just sit down and suck it all. He said, hey, I'm going to give you power to live the Christian life, but I want you to live in front of your coworkers, in front of your family, in front of your friends, that they can see the power of God and how a Christian should live their Christian life. He said, when God gives you all these good things, you get full. He said, beware, because you'll forget. You'll forget. And I tell you, beloved, the past 3 or 4 weeks, God's been extremely good to me and my wife. I can't comprehend how good God's been to us. You say, preacher, are you rich? About as rich as you. Preacher, is everything going for you? Probably as good as it's going for you. But God's just given us something special these past 3 weeks. I can't even explain to you what it is. But God ain't give it to us just to hog it up and use it for ourselves. God's given it to us to use it for others. And my friend, you said, I won't never forget God. But here twice, God's mentioned His word. Hey, when you're full and fat, you'll forget me. Look here, if you would, look what it says here in verse 14. Well, in verse 13, the Bible says, and when the herds of the flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beloved, why does bad things happen to good people? We've all heard that before, haven't we? Why does bad things happen to good people? Sometimes God allows bad things to happen to His people so we won't forget who God is. And we won't forget who we need every day. Here the Bible says, when thy herds has multiplied and thy silver and gold is multiplied, hey, when your pocketbooks is fat, when your boss man gives you a raise on the job, hey, when you earn a bonus, my friend, hey, when you just step into a whole lump of money, maybe an inheritance, maybe someone in your family has passed away and they left you a great inheritance, hey, don't forget God then. Hey, you remember who God is when you don't have food on your table and a loved one is sick and you go to the hospital, you go to the funeral home, but hey, as soon as your pocketbooks get fat and your stomach gets full, and then we forget who God is. Hey, Brother David, when I've got a little bit of extra money, and I believe God's given us a little bit of extra money every once in a while, hey, then we'll forget who God is. Hey, when God gives, God wants to receive, and God wants to know, hey, I'm going to be faithful with what God gives me. Hey, every once in a while, I'll find a penny on the ground. Y'all keep on dropping them pennies. I pick them up. They don't bother me one bit. They own heads. If they own tails. I picked up one the other day out of a water chewing tobacco. It don't bother me one bit. Every penny I get, Sister Terry Lynn, goes in that quarter bowl. So when y'all mess around in pennies, that's where I get them from. Hey, I believe every time I find a penny, God wants me to bend down and pick it up and bring it to His house. But anytime God gives just a little bit of extra money, it don't happen often, but every once in a while He does. Hey, He says, hey, don't forget me then. Hey, don't forget me when things is high and things is good and things is right. Oh, we need God when we wake up in the morning, our backs is hurting, our legs is hurting. I heard an old time once say, he said, I used to wake up and say, good. He used to wake up and say, good morning, Lord. He said, now I wake up and say, Lord, it's morning. Hey, my friend, hey, it's easy to remember God when things is bad, but when things become good and things is just right, then we're apt to forget who God is. Let's look at this next verse. Here's three times God done warned us not to forgive. Let's look at this next verse, if you will, in verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do not all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish. What's going to happen if we forget God? If we forget the one who's merciful to us, if we forget the one who's given us His grace and His love and His power, His strength, my friend, how about if we forget the God who saved our souls from a life of hell and given us a good church to come to? What's going to happen if we forget God? Turn back to Genesis, if you will, chapter 50. And don't look at me today and say, preacher, I won't forget them. Because when things is going right, you'll forget. When things is like you want them, you'll forget them. When things is not pressured and burdensome upon you, you'll forget them. I want to show you two things real quick. What's going to happen when we forget God? And I'm talking about what God's done for us. Now, you're looking at a church building this morning. Hey, let me just brag on God this morning a little bit. I'm not going to brag on you, brag on me, I'm going to brag on God. You're looking at a church building this morning that's paid off. Hey, God used God's people to do that, but hey, God done it. Hey, you're looking at 6 acres of land that's paid off. Hey, and God done it. Hey, you're looking at a nice remodeled fellowship hall, and God done it. Hey, you're looking at a nice 2004 church van. Hey, God done it. Hey, you're looking at a nice prophet chamber for someone to stay in. Hey, the inside of that house is a whole lot nicer than the inside of my house. And God done it. By the way, that's how God's stuff should be. God's house should be nicer than my house. His yard should be cut before my yard. His trash should be picked up before my trash should be picked up. Well, God's light should be left on before my lights. You say, that's just too much. It's not too much compared to what God's done for me. How God saved me and gave me a mansion in heaven. Here, my friend, what's going to happen if we forget God? I want you to notice they fell back into the world. Look here, if you would, at verse 9 of Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 8, the Bible says, And there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come now, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come and pass, that when they're falleth out any war, they join unto also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Here, my friend, in verse 13, the Bible says, And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Here, I don't know about you. I'm not real mathematically smart, but I do know the Bible says that God's people was multiplied more than the enemies of God. Here, God's people was multiplying more and more, and they was mightier and stronger than Pharaoh and his people. But you know what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, hey, if they just forget God and forget what God's done for them, forget what Joseph's done for them, hey, we can get them to serve us. And you know what the Bible says? They set taskmasters over God's people. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If we forget God and forget what God's done for us, we'll fall back into the world, and then the devil's taskmasters, my friend, will be all over us. And there's nothing we can do but just serve the devil and live for him, my friend. I want you to know something. If we forget God, we'll go back into the world. You say, preacher, I won't do that. There's been better people than you who's living for the devil right now, who once lived for the Lord, who once lived for God. We know people who's had a prominent role in this church, man. They was probably one of the greatest leaders of this church. You know what they're doing this morning? They're doing everything else the world's doing. He said, where does it start? It starts somewhere. It don't start by looking at men and women on the computer. It don't start with taking the first sip of alcohol. It starts when you forget who God is and what God's done for you. And you slip into the world. The devil brings his taskmasters out. They'll drive you harder than you've ever been driven before. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. I thought for a long time that's those who's not saved. But my friend, any of us that are saved this morning, you stop living for Jesus. Boy, God will give you a hard life. Boy, he'll make it so miserable for you, you don't even want to live. Here, the Bible said that he set servants over them with rigor or harshness. If you think it's hard living for Jesus, You try to live without Jesus. You see how hard it is. Well, you'll see how hard it is. What's going to happen to church if we forget God? Well, we have a nice building to come to. Well, we might have some good singing. We might have some good preaching. But if we forget what God's done for us, if we forget what God's done for us, and if we forget who God is, we'll allow anybody and everybody up there behind that pulpit. And it won't matter to us as long as they can entertain us and tickle our ears. My friend, I'm real particular about who I allow behind the pulpit. We've got missionaries to call. I tell you, we probably got 20 missionaries to call every week. Every week, 20 missionaries call. Brother Davis gave them some of our phone numbers. We got some, they say, Brother David Harrelson, give me your phone number. Is that all right? I said, no, it ain't all right. No, seriously, we have missionaries call every week. You know what I ask every one of them? What Bible do you preach out of? How many times have you been married? And do you attend your church faithfully every time you can? And my friends, some of them can't answer the questions. Yes. What Bible do you preach out of? You know what they say? Well, what Bible do you preach out of? I got one. And I say to King James, well, that's what I preach out of. How many times have you been married? They say, I'm only married to one woman right now. So you attend your church faithfully? Oh, yeah, I ain't been in about 3 years, but I used to. My friend, we'll forget God and forget the holy standards that God's given us. My friend, we'll be going back into the world, and then we have rigor, we have harshness. I want to show you this last thing real quick. I hope this is making some sense to some of y'all. If we forget God, we'll fail to do what we should be doing. Look what Joseph said here, if you would, in verse 25. Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. You know what Joseph said? Joseph said, hey, God's going to visit you, and God's going to do something great for you, give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And he says, hey, I want you to do one thing for me. Don't leave my bones buried in Egypt. My friend, if you're saved this morning, God's giving you something to do. And when you forget God, you'll fail to do what God has called us to do. You know what God's called me to do? He said, God's called you to be a preacher. He has. But before all that, God's called me to be a Christian. You know what the preacher's job is? If you read in Acts, the preacher's job is to read and pray. To read his Bible, to pray, get messages, to help out in the church. But because I'm a Christian, I still should go soul winning. And you should too. Because I'm a Christian, I still should work around this church. And you should too. I'm going to tell you something. We forget God. And it's apt to forget God because of how much God's been blessing. But we don't have a financial struggle here. We gripe and complain about it all the time. We want more money. We need more money. But God's been good to us. If we just simply forget who God is, my friend, we'll go back into the world and be in bondage. And we'll fail to do what God's given us to do. I look around. Every one of us has got something to do for the Lord. Brother David Harrelson, a missionary, he's got something to do for God. And God's called him and his family to preach to those prisoners in jail who can't get out and come to a church. And he meets people on death row. He meets people, my friend, that has in their mind to kill somebody else. Can you think about the privilege and blessing it is to take the Bible and lead them to Christ, see their lives get saved, see their lives get changed? My friend, if we'll forget God, and I'm looking around at some of us and we've already forgotten God, we forgot how good God has been to us. We forgot how good God is to us. And we forgot how good God's going to be to us when we leave this world and go to a place called heaven. And my friend, we're failing in what God has called us to do. You know what God's called us to do? To share the good news about Jesus Christ with the world. And what is the good news? The good news is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. How are we doing on that, folks? How are we doing on giving the good news to a lost and dying world? My friend, if you realize what God's truly done for you, you know what a preacher said? A preacher said, if I can get my people scared of me, they do what I want them to do. I've heard him say that, a preacher that I know personally. He said, if I can get my people scared of me, they'll do what I want them to do. I don't believe that's the right way of thinking. I believe if I get you to fall in love with Jesus, then you'll do what Jesus wants you to do. Not what I want, but what Jesus wants. You know what Jesus wants? He wants his story to be told all around the world. The Bible said there was a king that was new, that forgot Joseph, that didn't know who he was. And because of that, God's people went back into bondage. Because of that, God's people failed to do what God wanted them to do. I don't want to fail, do you? I don't want to come short anymore. My friend, we need to remember who God is and what God's done for us. You remember those times you prayed and you saw no human possible way that it could be worked out? You sit there and prayed, and you knew that there was nothing else you could do, but by the time the morning come, God's worked it out for you, and God's fixed it for you. And God's done something that you'll never forget. God's done something for all of us that we should never forget. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary so we could be saved. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, we ask you to come to Christ. Just trust in Jesus, and He'll save you. If you're saved this morning, I ask you as your pastor, as a preacher, don't forget God. Don't forget God. It's more church than how much money you can put in a plate. It's more than how many hours you can spend at this church. But it's us waking up every day living in God's presence and rejoicing in who God is and what God's done for us. It's waking up. You remember when you used to wake up? I remember this. I'm rattling on. I remember I used to wake up when I first got saved. I woke up in the morning and fixed me a bowl of cereal and I thought about Jesus. I ate that cereal and thought about God and just saving me and what God had for me. Went to work and whistled while I went to work and just thought about God all day long. Couldn't wait till I come home and got my Bible and sit down and read the Bible. But I couldn't wait till I come to church, not only hear the preaching and the singing, but to be around God's people. And boy, everybody I went to, I remember telling them I got saved and I wanted to come to church. Well, didn't know no better, just told everybody I was saved and wanted to come to church. Every day I woke up, I just thought about Jesus. You remember the days? Remember days when you just couldn't concentrate at work because you thought about Jesus? You drive down to work and you probably run a few stop signs and red lights because you're thinking about Jesus. You remember you turn the TV off and it didn't bother you because you thought about Jesus. You remember when something else was going on outside of your church life and you still come to church anyway and that didn't bother you because you were thinking about Jesus. I'm talking about getting back to those days. We just remember who Jesus is and want to spend time with Him. My friend, let's remember Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray you help us this morning. I know this ain't a usual Sunday morning message. I believe it's something, God, that you put in my heart to say because I need it. And there might be one or two others in this church building that needs it this morning. God, as a human, I'm so apt to forget, God. When things is right and things is good, I forget God then. And Father, the best I know how this morning, I want to thank you for the problems that I have, for the trouble that's in my life. For without the problems and troubles, I have no need or no reason to come to Jesus. But God, thank you for the problems and troubles that I have that keeps me upon my knees, keeps my eyes upon God. And Father, this morning I pray, God, you'll help this church never forget God. That you'll help God as this church goes on for Jesus, that you'll help us to never forget God. That you'll never let us forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, may every day we live, we'll remember Jesus. Lord, I don't want to go back into the world. I don't want to come short. I don't want to fail at what God's given me to do. Lord, I want to live for you the rest of my days. I want to be like Joseph and die when I die. I don't want to die anytime sooner, but I want to die the day I die. I want to work for Jesus till you come. Lord, help us this morning as we find our place at this altar. Lord, help us just to remember what you've done for us and what you're doing and what you will do. Lord, we ask you if any is lost and without Christ that they come forward this morning and get saved. Just trust in Jesus. Lord, right now you're calling out to people, Father, and I pray they'll be obedient to you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you will, stand with me with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. The invitation begins. The altar's open. How long has it been since you just took time to thank Jesus for saving you? We say it a lot. We thank God He saves us. We thank God He saves us. But with sincerity, how long has it been? How long has it been since you thank God for the clothes you've got on your back, the shoes you got on your feet, for the gas you got in your automobile, for the house you're living in, for the food you've been eating, for the friends you've got, for a church, church family. The Bible says there's a king that grew up and knew not Joseph. I don't want to forget God. I don't want to forget Christ and what He's done for me. If you're here this morning, you don't know who Jesus is. You might know His name. You might know a Bible story, but you're not saved. Would you come to trust in Christ this morning? If you're not saved this morning, and you'd like for me to pray for you, you'd like for me to remember you in my prayers tonight, would you be willing to lift your hand now and say, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior. Would you just slip your hand up for me so I can pray for you? I see it, nobody else will, but just me, preacher. I'm not right with God, and I need your prayers. I need your prayers." Real quick. Father, we thank you, God, for this day you've given to us. For those who's at altar this morning, God, that you'll help us. Not only for these at altar, but these in this church building. God, you'll help us not to forget God. Lord, when things is good and things is right, let us still come to you and call on you and ask you for your help and leadership and guidance in our lives. Father, we pray for these in our church building this morning that couldn't raise their hand. Lord, the devil's got them in bondage, and Lord, the taskmasters is working on them. They have a life of rigor. I pray, God, this morning somehow, some way, that they realize they can come and trust in Christ and be saved. The simple childlike faith in Jesus. If they would just ask God to forgive their sins and ask Christ to come into their heart and life and save them. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I pray, God, that would happen for them and happen soon. They repent and confess and call. And Lord God, for us that are saved, we know you as our Redeemer, our friend, our Savior. God, help us to never forget what you've done for us. God, help me to never forget where you brought me from. God, I was a hell-bound, hell-lost, hell-deserving sinner. And you come to me and save me and change my life. And now I've got a reason to live every day. Help me live that life for you. Lord, help us to never forget what you've done for us in this church. Lord, how you brought us from just a one-room place to a beautiful building. God, have we seen souls saved and families brought together and lives changed. Help us never forget what God can do.